Hey everybody, Rob Sesternino here, and I have got a special feed drop for you from the Patron Podcast feed. Now, we are always dropping all sorts of goodies in our Patron Podcast feed, and this season of Survivor is no exception. Survivor Academy is back with one small change. Last season, I did the Survivor Academy podcast, the podcast where we go through each week of Survivor to tell you what you need to learn from each episode of Survivor for when you go out on the island, you don't fall completely flat on your face. Oh my God, it would be so embarrassing. Thank God the Survivor Academy is here to go through the takeaways from each week of Survivor. Now, every single episode doesn't always have a lesson to learn. And so the way that we are doing the Survivor Academy this season, I thought it would be fun to try to approach it like a real-time evolution of strategy. And that's why we're going to do it in five chapters. So today's feed drop is going to be chapter one, going through the first 3.5 hours of Survivor 43. We've got a great guest, Frail Mary, Mary Kwiatkowski. She loves playing games. She has a great mind for strategy, among other things. And so she joins me to go through the first 2 episodes of Survivor. And we are going to go through everything that you need to take away before you go out on the island to play Survivor. Enjoy this feed drop. This is the only one we're going to do for Survivor Academy. To hear the rest of the series, you'll have to become a patron of Rob as a Podcast. It's just one of the benefits you get when you become a member of the greatest reality TV community in the world. Get everything that we have to offer at robhasawebsite.com/patron. We'd love to have you in the Rob as a Podcast patron community. That's all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Enjoy chapter one of Survivor Academy season 43. Hello, students. Welcome back to another season here at the Survivor Academy, where we will once again take a look at everything important that happens in season 43 of Survivor to tell you what is to be learned. What are the lessons to take away for when you are out there on the island in a future season? Very important stuff. Make sure you're paying attention and taking notes as we welcome back one of the brightest Survivor minds around. Very excited to have back with us Professor Frail Mary, Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great. School is back in session. Mm-hmm. Everybody grab your JanSport, take out your pieces of parchment and your pens that you've never seen on Survivor before. Mm-hmm. Get ready to take some notes. This is going to be fun. We've got a lot to cover in the first couple episodes already, first few hours of Survivor. And I'd say there's some tips to be had.
Okay. Well, Mary, I know you love Survivor Academy because you feel like it's like the Hogwarts of Survivor. So
exactly.
you love that. I'm really excited about the Survivor Academy this season because I think that what I wanted to do that was a little bit different, because I feel like that not necessarily every single episode of Survivor has something to take away. And so you never really know when those episodes are going to happen. And then sometimes there's like a super important episode. So what I wanted to do is that I wanted to do this in 5 parts. So consider this the real-time version of the evolution of strategy as we go through season 43. We are here to talk about episodes 1 and 2. We have 3.5 hours of Survivor to talk about. We're going to go through them chronologically to talk about all the important decision points that we've had from this season. I think that I will do the next one of these. We will end chapter 2 right before we get to the merge, and then we will do chapters 3, 4, and 5 later on in the post-merge part of the game. But very excited to get into all this. We have questions from the patrons. This is a patron-only program here, and we'll have all 5 parts. And I think that people can then go back. And I think that, Mary, this will be a very like manageable thing for somebody at the end of the season to listen to the 5 chapters of season 43 of Survivor.
Yeah, this is great. This is great future documentation for anyone going out on Survivor who maybe wants a quick bite of, okay, what were some of the mistakes made, some of the tips to be gained. I think this is great. And who better to be on the first episode of the evolution of strategy themed academy than the person who famously uses the Evolution of Strategy theme songs as my alarm to wake up in the morning.
But what do you mean you use the Evolution of Strategy theme songs to as an alarm?
The thing that is so confusing to me is I have no idea how I got those individual clips. I must have just clipped them off of everything. But yeah, my alarm sound when I wake up in the morning is, mm-hmm. let's see, here's the first one. This is the Evolution of Strategy sound one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear that.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Season 43, chapter one. Oh, Mary, what's the name of...
Oh, right. Let's see.
What would we call it?
We call this... So I wrote this piece of advice four times, I think, down in different scenarios. So I think the first one is jump on the vibe of the tribe.
Jump on the vibe of the tribe.
Or the vibe of the tribe. I think it's extremely important in the early days to go along with whatever the vibe of the tribe is.
Okay. I think that's a great lesson that let's put that in pencil right now. And then as we go okay. through, because you've never seen a pencil either on Survivor. Maybe at the end of this episode, we'll have like a really punny title for chapter one.
That'd be great. That'd be okay. really great.
Okay. All right. So season 43 of Survivor. And now I feel like that, you know, it's interesting here because now the new era has been established. Everybody comes in, they know what the new era is. And so the season 43 players come in and play and come in. And I really, no surprises here in the opening of season 43 for these players.
Yeah, I think that when you look back and you kind of signify between like old school, new school, whatever this new school age is really called, how do you distinguish between new school and whatever this is? Or does new school become something else?
Is always changing. People are trying so hard to get to old school. I bet like people that played on like the Edge of Extinction are like, hey, I'm old school.
Oh, gosh.
I played 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. I think that this is like modern era of Survivor. And it's really important right off the bat to kind of like we saw in this episode, the amount of knowledge that just seeing the most recent seasons can give you in terms of format, mm-hmm. more so than anything else. Like we saw that with the Beware Advantage. We know that with the whole... Big Rock Island situation, Shipwheel Island, that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. it's really important to have watched at least the previous season that you could see, because I think you're just going to get so much from format out of that. That's going to be really important. Like there was when we shifted between old school and new school back, whenever that was, there was all this talk of like, are you shelter people? Are you beach people? Are you people who are coming in to strategize and socialize? Or are you going to stick with the sort of OG survivalism? Like, let's get the shelter done thing. And I think that we've even gone past that into this sort of even more, finite example of it's not just about are you the person building the shelter, collecting the water, or are you the person strategizing? It's all about how are you doing those things? Are you doing them quick enough? Are you doing them sloppy? Are you doing them, you know, going all the way? Like we saw a lot of flirting with alliances here in the first two episodes, and we saw some stick and some fall apart. And I think there were little moments in between all of those that like differentiated between the people who were successful and the people who weren't.
Can you expand on that a little bit? You feel like that the alliances were a little bit dictated by how people were doing at the like individual jobs they had around the camp?
Yeah, I think that's some of it. So like in the first episode, I think is one of the easiest places to look at it. And this is the first time I think I wrote Jump on the Vibe of the Tribe was when you see Owen kind of pulling a half measure of walking around with people and just trying to like, I think it's really easy, especially for people who like the game and follow the game to say, okay, step one, make an alliance with everyone or get in good with everyone. And we've seen Aubrey have a downfall with that back in Edge of Extinction, but you can't come in and just say like, hey, like, I'll watch out for you. Like, yeah, your name, whatever. And then we saw in that same tribe a little later that Ellie was so much more successful because instead of doing the half measure of just slightly getting in with everyone, she first, step one, make a connection to something else with a person. Like, hey, I noticed that we both like whatever thing. Or you know, it's kind of like if you just walked up to me and at work and we're like, hey, we're going to be best friends. Eh. But if you're like, oh my gosh, I love that shirt. Oh, you got this food? That's so great. Yeah, now we're going to be best friends. Like, it can be superficial, but if you just have a slight lead-in before the friendship talk, there's that. And then go hard. Instead of saying, I'll watch out for you, do the, yeah, you and me, wouldn't that be so fun? Oh, the two of us. I think it's much better to like go farther into the alliance, especially on day one, as long as you're not Don't make an alliance to exclude people in that conversation, but come in and say, like, let's bond with everyone and firm up something good with everyone. I think it's always going to be better to be like, have more alliances than fewer. I know that was like 10 different sort of half things that I said there, but I think, yeah, I think the when you really come down to it, the main thing is that you can't make an alliance with no bond.
Yes.
And then you can't, Don't do the half measure of just like, oh, I'll watch out for you. Like, go ahead and go jump all the way in.
Do you feel like that? Do you just want to, like, in the first day or so, like, do you just want to like have like really good like opening sort of like oh my god, your shoes are awesome, like you know, or do we want to like really just start to make people feel warmly about you, or do you think that you like actually need to say, like, I think we heard Owen in the first episode talk about, hey, if I hear your name, I'll say something to you. Like, do you want it just to be more like positive vibes, or do you want to actually, do you think, like, get something a little more firm?
I think you need to do both. And I think you need to do both within the first 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be leading into day two, but I think the first thing you need to do is the, like, come in like this is an interview or a podcast or a first date. Like, have topics of conversation and ways that you already plan to share experiences, mm-hmm, with someone already. Just have a list of them and bring those out. Now, this is where you can get caught up in the Tori situation from last season, though, which I wrote down, which is make the bonds with people based off of what they're showing you they are and not who you think they are. So don't come in and see someone and go, oh, you're this age, or, you know, I think you might be athletic or nerd or whatever, and so I'm going to try and bond with you over those things. Ask them about themselves and then make a connection based on whatever they say. Don't try to like perceive who you think they are, mm-hmm, because people hate that when you like misinterpret who they're trying to be. And if you have someone like Sammy on your tribe who's going to specifically be trying to give you a certain version of themselves, go with the version they're giving you, not the version you think they are.
Okay.
So I think that's like step one, is bond over that. But the step two is go past the Owen step. You need to not just look out for someone, go ahead and ensure up something, because I think that you can easily get caught up in a situation where you feel like you're sort of, oh, I'm kind of good with everyone, but they're over here making actual tight alliances. And then it's like, well, we feel good about Mary, but no one really has a firm deal with her. I know it can be scary to be like, hey, you and me, but instead of like trying to make the alliance that way, I think it's much better to kind of almost go about it in the jokey way, which we saw happen on in the Yellow Tribe in particular in the first two episodes with both the men and the women, of like, hey, look at the three of us. The three of us together. This would be great. Look at us. And I think that that's kind of, you almost want to make it like a laughable joke so that people leave and they go, huh? I think that was an alliance that, mm-hmm, I've got there. Yeah, I've got that to fall back on if nothing else.
Yeah, I think that what we should probably try to do is also like combine all these things. And I wonder if you think that this is a good thing to take away, especially in these six-person tribes, of that I want to have like a good like rapport with, mm-hmm, everybody there. But I think that have one person and lock in your one person. And I think that, so it's these two things where, so like when we talk about Justine, who ends up being gone, Justine locked in her one person, but didn't have the good rapport with everybody. We saw where, you know, like NECA and Cody, like, they locked in their one person. So I think it's really, you want to have both things of, the like rapport, vibe of the tribe, and then also have your one person that you're super solid with, as opposed to like being like half solid with everybody, have the one person that you're locked down with.
Yeah, and that was another thing I wrote down, was making duos is incredibly helpful in Survivor, because people are much more likely to go out on a limb for their duo if they feel like look at Hai and Lydia. If they feel like this is a person who 100% has my back and therefore I need to have their back, rather than alliances of three, which we've seen in the six-person tribe, we've seen alliances of three over the last several seasons. It's so much easier to have those crumble, because a lot of times when you have alliances of three, there's multiple alliances of three, maybe someone in the middle, and they go, well, I can lose one person from either one of these sides. If you have a really strong duo, like you're saying, someone is really incentivized to keep you around, either as their bonus vote, their shield, their whatever. And it's much easier if a different group comes to you and says, hey, who do you want out? Or we want to target this one person. It's a lot easier to say, I want to save one person rather than a bigger group.
And I wonder if we're going to forget how to play Survivor in bigger tribes. But I definitely feel like that in the six-person tribe, that this is the way to go. And just from my own experience, I know it's like almost 20 years ago, but I feel like that I was going for, all right, well, I'm going to try to have a good situation with everybody. But I didn't have a ride or die in a six-person tribe. And that does make you very expendable if there's not one person that's like, okay, well, this person is going to be really upset with us if we go for this person. So like, I think you want to have somebody who's very invested in you being in the group, but also the group as a whole likes you.
Yeah, and this is something that I think really came up in the first vote with Mariah, but it in both votes in the first two episodes. If you're in a situation where you hear that your name is coming up and it's you versus someone else to go home, which kind of more or less seemed like in the first two votes, that was where it was there were two people's names on the table. If you already have a really good rapport with everybody, it's less likely that you'll be one of those names. And at that point, even if you're in an alliance, it's best to pitch someone else out there so that it becomes a battle between two other people, someone else and whoever the original person was, and just take you out of there. So if you already have really good rapport, you're less likely to have everyone jump on the, well, these are the two names. If you have a person who's your duo partner, like with Cody and NECA, like Cody wasn't going to go that way. They knew that. And so they knew at best we've got, you know, four people, one of which doesn't have a vote at this moment, to go against that. And so it's a lot harder to kind of rally those votes rather than if you're a solo person floating around by yourself. But yeah, so have the rapport so that your name ideally isn't the one being pitched as the backup vote or whatever. If you are in that situation, go ahead and throw someone else's name out there. At that point, it really doesn't even matter if it's someone in your alliance or someone you like to work with. I think sometimes people get afraid of losing anyone that they could potentially want to work with, which can cut off their own chances. Like if you've got a bunch of people in the tribe, be like, well, I want to work with all these people. And so the person that I'm pitted against is the only person I don't want to work with. So I guess I'd rather battle it out with them. That's looking a little bit too far down the path when it's week one in Survivor. It's like, it's the first couple of votes, just keep yourself safe. So throw someone else's out there, name out there, put a different target out there so that you're not in danger in these first couple.
Mary, I'd love to talk about the opening of the game and the big, everybody comes in and talks to Jeff. Did you see anything that you thought was a takeaway from that as far as future players should look at this?
Yeah, I think that it can be really hard when you're a big fan of the game, especially, or you're very excited, to give away too much in some of these scenarios. it's all, there's always, you know, the devil's advocate to everything. We've seen in times where someone shouts out that they're a super fan and the other super fan goes, great, perfect. We can team up. We can work together. I know that they'll have good strategy. But just as many times, if not more, that puts a target on your back. So I think the key for the opening is to channel someone that you think is a fun Survivor character, but not a Survivor target. So like, think of someone in the past who you were like, okay, this person maybe was underestimated. I mean, it could be a winner, because you could even say like Marianne last season. It would be like, channel what you think Marianne would say on that first moment walking out. Be happy, be excited, have a funny anecdote, but don't give away too much about how you'd want to play the game or people that you do or don't want to work with, or even anything that's a major thing that would set you apart that could make you have like a great story. Like at that point, it's almost the, I just want a quick laugh and then the spotlight to be off me. You know, I want to be, I want to make them like you enough that they giggle, but then forget your name in the next second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to last season, I feel like that Mike did well with this, where it was like, oh my God, it's Jeff Probst. I can't believe it. Where it's sort of like, I'm very excited to be here, because now Jeff asks you a lot of like questions, very specific questions, like, all right, Mary, tell me, how long have you been watching Survivor? What, you know, when did you decide to be on the show? And it's like, you have like a couple choices here of like, especially if you're somebody that's like, oh, I've seen every single episode. Like, I think that there is like the temptation to sort of like peacock, like what a big fan you are. Like, I've seen every single episode. I know the every single person that got voted off. Like, I think you just want to like, oh my God, I can't believe it. This is so cool that I'm here. But I don't think you want to necessarily tip off that I know everything about the show, because that's dangerous.
Self-deprecating, embarrassing, something that's going to look over. Trip, that's fine. That's funny. People giggle, but then they forget about it. You know, it's like, it's more embarrassing to you. If Jeff comes at you and says, how long have you been watching? Come back with an answer that shows that you're aware of the show and you're excited, but not that you're, don't say, Jeff, well, let me tell you, I haven't had anything but Survivor on my TV for as long as I can remember. That kind of is a non-answer. People are like, what does that mean? Does that mean they've been watching for the last year? Does that mean they've loved the show? Just funny anecdote that's non-specific and can move past. I think that's it's much more important to have a target not on you in those moments. I don't think that we're ever going to see someone targeted out the gate because of a particular thing they say, unless it's like a returning player. Oh, I don't want to work with, coach or whoever, and then there they are. Like, don't do that, but
yeah. Okay. So I do think that, you know, first impressions, okay, hey, just say, you know, fun, cool vibes, like just, you know, happy to be here. I think that's important. Okay. I don't know if anything really impacted the game from the first challenge. Like, it didn't even seem like that, okay, any of the tribes like were upset with anybody's performance in that first challenge. I would say also, you know, you don't want to put yourself in some sort of like hero position if there's a chance that you feel like you cannot do what you were being asked to do in that first challenge.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really tricky, because I think you want to be a team player. If other people pitch you to do something, unless you know 100% that you are not going to be capable of doing that and it's going to be a huge detriment to the tribe, don't speak up about it. Like, I think we've also seen just as many times someone say, hey, so-and-so, you go do the puzzle or the whatever, and they're like, really fight back, don't want to do it. And that can also be an issue. So I'd say just don't fight back, just blend in. Don't step up and volunteer either, which kind of brings us to the next thing, the sweat versus savvy.
Yes.
Do you expect that a version of this will be here to stay for the foreseeable future?
I think so. I mean, if it's in 41 and 42 and it's in 43, I would be shocked if it's not in Survivor 44.
Now, that given, do you think, this is something my dad brought up to me recently, how creative can you get with some of these answers, especially in the savvy? Because he brought up that you could have taken two out of the zero, which I think is what they did to get the extra ones. Take those top and bottom off the zero. turn them into a carrot symbol and do 5 to the power of all the other numbers. I wonder if that would have flown, because that's certainly a bigger number. I bet production would have said, no, we're looking for just digits, no fancy characters.
Yeah, I think a numerical number. Is that is that an equation when you do that?
I don't know if that counts as an equation or not. I mean, it's notation, certainly, but I thought that would be kind of funny. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you
I think
can
the producers
do
would shut that down. They're like, no, that's not what we're looking for, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So, but this does bring up something interesting. Like, Rob, if you're out there, and especially in terms of like the sweat or something, and the tribe really, really nominates you, it's like, oh, Rob, you got to do this. What is the correct amount of fighting back if you don't want to be the person in that position?
I think that there is no limit to the fighting back. I thought that Owen really did a good job of avoiding the voce of, even if somebody's like, hey, let's do sweat. That I think the move is force the whole tribe into savvy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I liked the pitch of, you know, we win together, we lose together. Let's do this. I think the question, which we haven't seen yet, is if the tribe then fails and says, oh, we should have just had those two people do the sweat.
Yeah. Well, we've seen the tribes go 3 for 3 on savvy. If for Ryan and for Gio, it worked out well for sweat. But I mean, going back to season 41, like Voce, I think, and Xander both like had like a lot of like, you know, they were really like got hurt doing savvy. And they got hurt like physically, but also their positioning was severely hurt for them. So like we've seen it go really sideways for people to do sweat. And we've never even seen a tribe get it wrong on savvy.
Which I'm shocked, because I would never have come up with that answer for this
move the bones
problem. I don't think I could have gotten that, but
maybe, you know, you see these things like, I feel like on Instagram of like, you know, oh, move one of these lines. It's so easy. I feel like that maybe people should be doing those. I mean, you could probably get a lot of like spam on your phone, but yeah, it might be good.
I think I've mentioned somewhere on some podcast that time management video games should be required for all for all reality TV players.
What's a time management video game?
Like any of those cooking games where it's like you've got to be running over here, grilling the hamburger and then cutting up the lettuce and putting those together.
Yes.
I think that's one where you're having to...
Why do you feel like that's such a important skill?
I think it's about, you know, keeping track of multiple things at one time. I think that it's all about... I know I had a reason for this because I know I've talked about it before. But yeah, you want to make sure that if you've got a lot of irons in the fire, that you're not letting any of them slip, that you're keeping track of all of them. Let's go with that.
Okay. All right. So take note, everybody. If you have any recommendations, please let us know. But yeah, I say if sweat versus savvy comes up, I feel like, you know, going back to Voce, you don't want to ever be, you know, drafted into having to do it. I think have the tribe work together, you know, and again, the tribe wins together, tribe loses together. I think it's good morale, good chance for the tribe to bond, as opposed to where 4 people are bonding, back building the shelter, and maybe you're getting to bond with one other person. For Gio and Ryan, I thought they got unbelievably lucky.
Yeah, I think they did. I think with that, though, it is better this season that we've seen that you can at least communicate with the other person who's doing it with you. And I would argue that I don't think it's the biggest detriment ever to be a part of the pair. I mean, if you can, as long as you can really shore up a good alliance with whoever is also doing the sweat with you, I think that's step one. And then step two is work overtime when you're done with that to make up for any time you missed. But that being said, like, yeah, if you can try to convince the tribe to do everything together, that's definitely the way to go. It seems easier to pitch unity. rather than separation. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be good. But yeah, if you are by yourself, and if there's another challenge that the cat, I think in I don't know if it was 41 or 42, where it was like only one person could do it, or the people who were doing the sweat couldn't communicate. Yeah, no, that's a big no-go.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Mary, I want to talk about, on Vessi, we saw where Justine really ended up getting off on the wrong foot with Cody because of the fact that she was in sales. Okay. This is not something that would have occurred to me as like, oh, red flag, sales. Cody also happens to be in sales. But going back to telling people your occupation, you know, I think that like there's been a lot of discourse over the time that we've had Rapids Podcast of like, why do people say the fake job? Because it doesn't really matter. But this was an instance that it did really seem to, okay, it was very easy to, cast Justine aside. Okay, don't forget, she's a salesperson. You know how salespeople are.
I think that's important here. The lesson here is less about the occupation and more about doing what Cody did, which was finding any reason to target someone. Because you can't cover for, you could find a way to turn any job into a threat or a liability mm-hmm. if you really wanted to. And I think what Cody did there was using his knowledge of his own career, which helped, he just found a way to target one person based on anything. It could be anything. And I think that that's kind of important is if you have someone that you already know you kind of want to go against, come up with a reason to target them. What he also did, which I think was nice, but I would have even taken it a step further, is he used I would call this like the plausibility plausible deniability argument almost, which is like my favorite way to pitch someone and to put them on the outs is to almost like kill them with kindness. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a target, like if this, you know, case, his Justine, if he said, oh, that Justine, did you hear? She's a salesperson. That's so great. She's going to be able to lie, manipulate other people, which is going to be such a big help. Oh my gosh. That's so great that she can do that. And if you keep kind of pitching that to people, I think you can kind of actually get them to start thinking, wait a second, these sound like bad things that aren't good for us. But if someone ever came back to Cody and said, hey, I heard that you were saying these things about Justine, it's great. You can just be like, well, yeah, I was saying all these positive things. So I love you. You find a way to say a positive thing about someone that actually makes it seem like they're a threat and a target. And you hope that other people will eventually catch on to that. It can work. And that's my favorite because it does allow you to like hide from it if it ever comes back to you.
That's very good. I do like that a lot. Should a player tweak their job title, if not outright lie about their job position? Like instead of saying that she was in sales, Justine, should she say this like, oh, I'm in like a customer acquisition?
Yeah. Come up with the most business jargony, like incomprehensible way to say your title, which you see sometimes if like someone is...
Lead conversion.
Right. Yeah. Like I will change the description of what I do depending on how impressive I'm trying to sound.
Yes.
Sometimes you say, oh, I work in IT, or I'm a software developer, or I'm a computer programmer, or I'm a computer science engineer. And those all have slightly different meanings. Or I'm a consultant, which I also am, a software consultant. And like all of these things, I could say, I could make it even more boring sounding if you really wanted to. But each of those I use depending on who I'm trying to impress, how impressive I'm trying to sound, or how boring I'm trying to make my job yeah. sound. And I think that's important. Take whatever you do and make it sound boring.
Yes.
Make it sound non-impressive and make it sound not like a thing that would have a really great story behind it.
Mary, can you help me take my job? Okay. Can you make it sound boring and can you make it sound impressive?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that you're an audio engineer.
Oh, is that boring or that's exciting?
I think that would be kind of impressive if you're yeah. trying to like not say podcaster, but you're trying to like put this on like a like a professional resume or something. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh, I'm an audio editing specialist, or I'm yeah. an audio engineer. You could try to make it sound more exciting by saying like, oh, audio entertainment media mm-hmm. or something. And then if you're trying to make it sound really boring, you could say that I'm in I don't know,
I think I've said I have a blog.
Yeah. Verbal instructional content. I don't know. You could come up with something like that. But I think at this point, if you said podcaster, I think that strikes.
Oh my God.
Either it's like, oh yeah, everybody's so a podcaster, boring. Everyone has that, or it's more of this is that a real thing? Mm-hmm. Or for the people really in the know, oh, podcaster. Oh, maybe he has a big following or a lot of people who listen or a lot of,
yeah,
I think you kind of, that's tricky. Like I would not go on Survivor as a podcaster and say that you're a social media influencer. Don't say that.
That would be
going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I do think it is a bigger factor on Big Brother, because I feel like that then there are things that people vote on and stuff like that, whereas it's much like celebrity, like an influence, I think is really not at all part of you don't get a power based on like people voting
right.
or anything like that. But I have seen like a look of like pity on the face of people when my wife tells like strangers that her husband is a podcaster. It's like, oh my God, we're so sorry for you.
If Nicole told everyone that you were an audio engineer, I think that they just like probably wouldn't ask any more questions. Mm-hmm. Or if they did, you'd be like, oh yeah, he makes educational content for different viewership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Audio production. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. All right. So is there anything else specifically from because I want to get to Shipwheel Island.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about this. So season 43 contestants, they have seen how this plays out a couple of times. We saw the selection of the players. Mary, how much should players be trying to really push for, hey, I should go to the island. Let me go in the boat.
I think you should let it happen if everyone is trying to push you to go for some reason. I think unless you're in a situation where this is happening, like I think for the first one, it doesn't matter as much. I think if this is later in the season where you know for a fact you don't want someone in particular to go because you don't want someone to get a power, they're the only person you want voted out, that's when you should fight for it. I think early on in the season, I'm curious to know if you have a different stance. I think it can be helpful, but I think most of the time, if we see especially in this case where, Gabler gets an idol, it can only be used at the first two tribals, which could be a big deal depending on how late in the game they go to their second tribal. But it has an expiration. It's just as likely that you might disadvantage yourself. I think kind of the best case scenario for going is if you have one of those, like the advantage you get is a tarp for your tribe. That's kind of the best case scenario. I think advantages can be really helpful, but I think we've seen in the last couple seasons more often that the advantages are useful when you're using them at the end as a, hey, I had this thing that no one ever knew about, and less so about using them to really make a big pivotal move.
I'm trying to go back in my mind and go back to the players that went to Shipwheel Island in the respective seasons. Did it ultimately benefit them? Marianne did go in the first episode of season 42. She did get an extra vote, and I don't know if that was was it an extra vote or an idol? She got an extra vote, I believe. And I'm trying to remember back to, I guess that extra vote did, was important to her story, ultimately in like the biggest move of the season. So, that was a big deal. But I feel like that it didn't really, help anybody else, particularly too much, the power. If anything, it may either made them a target in one way or another, or it was like a reason with it. They had like a bad story that came back that made people distrust them.
Yeah. And that's why I think that this is kind of a two-part instructional question, because if you're already at Shipwheel Island, I think there's different tips that I can give you. But in the initial should you go or should you not, I think the advantage you're going to have from creating more relationships with the people while someone else is gone, not losing your vote, not having a target on your back, I think those are probably in the long run going to outweigh any particular advantage you get. Unless you know that you're the person way, way on the outs. Like if you're the person way on the outs, go fight for it. Go do not, you know, like better to have everyone, know exactly what the situation is and be annoyed at you then just lay down and let yourself get voted out.
But I feel like the more you want to go, I feel like that the more the tribe is not going to, like, I feel like Tori was somebody that like really wanted to go. And then I think the more you want to go, the more the tribe is like, we're going to pick somebody else.
And this is why I don't think you should fight going. Like if everyone's like, oh, hey, so-and-so, how would you want to go or whatever? Don't just like accept it. Like be chill and take whatever comes along, unless, and also if you feel like the reason that everyone wants you to go is because they all don't like you and to get you out of their hair, then you can learn a lot from that. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes that's good. But I think in a lot of cases early on, it's okay to be kind of purple on your own tribe. Like as long as you have the relationships, I think it's perfectly fine to kind of be the person in the background, the sort of easygoing person who's down for whatever. Make everyone feel like you're on their side, and that they don't want to get rid of you. And that's more important. Well, I got more on that, but we'll go with the second one. But then if you are the person who does get selected to go on the boat trip and you're on the island, we saw in the first two iterations of this, in 41 and 42, a decent amount can be gained from making good relationships with the people out mm-hmm. there, that can come back and really, really help you. I think we haven't yet seen on this season a whole lot about the like giving away of information, mostly because it was the first episode. They didn't have a ton of information to give away. Do you have a particularly strong stance on that, on like, should you bond at all costs, basically, or should you be trying to play more coy
with the people that are on Shipwheel Island with you?
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's like the people that really bonded on Shipwheel Island. I think we've seen those relationships pay dividends. Going back to season 41, Xander and Danny really bonded. Shannon, Liana, they had bonds. You know, and when the times that it's gone sideways, you know, has been where, you know, like that has ramifications also. So I think that really at all costs, you know, you really do want to try to bond. Now to the point, like, should you punt on risking your vote because you are trying to make these bonds? We saw with like Omer and Chanel, like where that kind of went sideways when they went there. But I do think that you should be really trying to make a very strong bond with the people that you are there with.
Yeah. And
look at Roxroy and Lydia, where it was like such a standoff last time.
That was the one I was going to bring up. I couldn't remember who was with Roxroy, but I knew it was Roxroy and someone. But there's nothing to be gained from just putting up a wall. Like, you don't need to reveal everything about your tribe. You could give kind of talk a lot and give information that doesn't necessarily mean anything if you're at that point. Like, talk about a lot about people's personalities or silly things they've done around camp mm-hmm. or whatever, instead of just being like, oh yeah, we get along. Or throwing out who has which idol and everything. Like there's a in between there where you can have someone leave and go, wow, I feel like I learned a lot. And then when they think about it, they're like, I didn't really get any major information, but I do feel like they were trying to give me something. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you want there. What about should you risk your vote or not? Early on, first episode.
I mean, I say risk it, right? I mean, I feel like, and especially like you come back and tell the group, like, hey, I did this for us. I'm trying to do stuff for the tribe. I mean, I do think you could maybe like ask people also ahead of time of like, all right, if I have a chance, do I risk my vote or do I play it safe? And I wonder if you could like get some actionable information like from the group. If everybody's like, if everybody's telling you to like play it safe, that might mean that they're more your allies and people are telling you to risk it. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Can you take anything away from that?
Yeah, I think that this has a lot to do with like what the show should do. I think very soon the show needs to change the Shipwheel Island in one of two or both major ways. One, it can't be a thing where it's the same scenario every time people go, like in within a season. And also there should be a infrequency and a random cutoff where you can't say, oh, there's always going to be four people who go. It's going to be the first four rounds and they're always going to have roughly the same decision. You need to mix it up because right now we're at a point where people have seen it, so they have no incentive to lie about what happened, lie about the type of challenge or what their choice was. Like you're saying, in the current scenario, ask before you go. And then even if you lose your voice, you'd be like, well, you guys told me to risk it. Like, you know, that you take the ownership off yourself when you do that. Like right now, there seems to be almost no benefit to lying in any way about anything that's happening over on Shipwheel Island. So I think the show needs to change it up and they need to massively alter like what you're doing over there and also the frequency in which it's happening so that people can't predict it. So then maybe you could come back and say, this is what happened. And then another person goes in a few episodes and something completely different happened. And that'll make them wonder, was the first person lying? Is it just different every time? I don't know. And that's, I think that's much more interesting for the show, but this is me just trying to make it harder for the players.
Melissa Knights has a question. Do you tell the truth when you go to Shipwheel Island or the Rocky equivalent? I think we're in agreement. Absolutely. You have to at this point. People know what it is. You can't get too creative with it. My suggestion is that you go there with whatever people and okay, there is on the table, the idol, an advantage, something. Okay. And that's it. And the people that are there agree on who gets it. And then if you cannot come to a consensus, everybody there loses their vote.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's a good one.
You one person leaves with advantage, the other people leave with nothing. If they cannot be in full agreement, everybody loses their vote.
I think if that's the case also, if it's the beginning of the game, I could see a lot of reasoning behind why you do not want to be the person with the advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, or I should say, if you're the person who ends up with the advantage or idol or whatever it is, and that early stage one, use it. Use it immediately because you want the next time that you're back around with these people to be able to say, I don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. I used it. Everyone knows. Because otherwise, you've just put a target on your back for whenever you're going to meet up in the future. And everyone's going to know that you had one. And I mean, I think that's my philosophy for the most part anyway, is anytime you get an advantage or an idol, to burn it almost instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Steven has talked about that in, you know, coming out of Second Chances, that he feels like that was something that really hurt him.
If it's something that everyone or a group of people
public,
knows about,
public advantage, public yes. Yeah. You want to get rid of that as soon as possible because it becomes something that adds a bigger target to your back. Okay. Is there anything else from the first episode of the show? I know this was a 2-hour episode, but it was really a lot of character stuff. Just going back to Mariah, any lessons to be learned about Mariah and what went wrong for her?
Yeah, I think it's tricky with Mariah. This was kind of in my initial 10-minute rambling, but I think that like the big takeaway with Mariah is if you think that you might potentially be a challenge liability, even if you don't feel that way, but you think that other people might pitch that as mm-hmm. as what you are, there are times when you can be lucky and be on a tribe that doesn't care about winning challenges, and you need to pitch whatever assets you have in that case. But otherwise, I think it's so important that you get in with everyone so that they value your allegiance to them more than any particular challenge ability you have. And at the point where you think, okay, it's between me and someone else, I think that is where you need to pull the Hail Mary and just pitch someone else and throw someone else's name out there. Because I mean, worst case scenario, you were already going home and now you just made an enemy. Best case scenario, it gets people thinking and gets the target off of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Mariah seems like an extremely sweet person who, you know, from everything hearing in her exit interview, it really sounded like she's just really, really nice and very understanding of the perception that other people had of her. But I think that like make an enemy, throw someone else's name out there, try to save yourself. It's if you don't want to be the first person voted out.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much Mariah could have done differently. That I wonder though if Mariah could have like found the name that maybe Ellie would have been more like agreeable to. Like it didn't seem like that Ellie was targeting Mariah. It just seems like that there are were not a lot of targets. Obviously. You know, Ellie didn't want to do Gabler or Owen, like, but would she have been open to Sammy? Like, I feel like that, you know, anybody but me, I know Mariah was working with Sammy. That I had asked Mariah, is there anything you could have said differently? She didn't think that there was, but I wonder maybe if there like would have been an acceptable target that wasn't Mariah.
Yeah, I think at that point you find who has the power. If Ellie's the one who looks like is the one who's steering the vote, any other person that Ellie would be willing to have out there. And so maybe then you jump on the Owen thing, but it kind of seems like that's what Mariah did. I think that is where you lose Sammy. I mean, I know it's really hard mm-hmm. when you want to keep as many people around who you can work with. And if you feel like you've got it, you know, we talked about that tight duo. If you feel like you've got a burgeoning duo with Sammy, it can be really hard to want to throw them out there. But if it's you or them, I think at that point you go full steam into whatever Ellie might want in that scenario. And if you do that and Sammy goes home or Owen goes home or whoever it is, then you have all this fuel against Ellie in the future that you can also use.
Yeah.
Which is why I would say from Ellie's point of view, easier to get rid of the Mariah in that scenario rather than changing it up, because you don't want to have anyone who you feel like you owe them or owes you or any kind of guilt association with someone.
And I wonder for Mariah, maybe if the other thing that could have happened potentially was if you can suss out that Ellie is the person that's calling all the shots, like if there isn't like another target that you feel like is going to work, maybe could you get, I know Mariah really wanted to make the Women's Alliance work, but like, could you start to rally people against Ellie?
Yeah, that's another option. And everything you're talking about with the Sammy and then the wanting the Women's Alliance, I think the key here is just, you need to have enough ins with everyone that you can cut loose any particular alliance. Mm-hmm. Like make those alliances, make the Women's Alliance, make the duo with Sammy, but then be okay cutting them if it's the first vote.
Something I had noticed at the start of the second episode that I didn't get to talk about on the podcast is that Owen comes back and apologizes to everybody. Yep. And I thought that was so interesting. He apologized to everybody and basically said that he apologizes if he was paranoid. And that wasn't something that I feel like we saw in the episode. Like, I don't think anybody was commenting on like, what's with Owen now? He's really freaking out. And maybe it did happen like a little bit towards like the lead up to Tribal Council. Did you catch any of that?
I didn't catch anything from him being paranoid in the first episode. But we do hear in the second episode that Ellie says that he's the one who needs like more attention and more like sort of guidance. And I think that that's could have potentially been in there, just someone who needs more assurance, maybe if he was seeming worried in that first episode. I think what he does here, though, this is my first note, is if your name was brought up or if you received any votes, all of this is about good gameplay and not necessarily about good TV. I'll put that out there.
Sure.
When you come back and do the post-tribal, I think there is no reason, almost ever, unless it's something that like you think breached game and there was some sort of personal attack, if it's all game-related, there is no reason ever to say, hey, can I have a conversation with you individually? Can we talk about, let me try to give my side, be defensive? None of that. You apologize. Your name was up there. I know you don't feel like you need to apologize. Mm-hmm. Publicly forgive everyone, make them think that you're all cool with them. One of the worst things you can have on Survivor is have other people feel worried about like anything you may be holding against them. Mm-hmm. No one wants to feel like there's someone holding a grudge on their tribe. Now that doesn't mean you can't hold it, but do the Natalie Anderson, pretend, forgive, move on, and then use that later if you have the opportunity. But bonus points, try to get in with one of these people later, like the next day or later that night. oh, I'm so sorry. I really want to work with you. Like here are some things that I think we'd be good together. Totally forgiven. Let's move forward. I'm, you know, forgive and forget and make it believable. I think that's like the one of the best things you can do.
Go back like Jack. That's what JD said. Of course, he says that he always talks about Jack Nicktang and how well he took it. Now for Owen though, the only person that voted for him was Mariah. So do you think that he still needs to apologize there in that spot?
Yeah, I think it's not about the like who voted for you. I think it's the fact that your name was out there somewhere. Like maybe only one person did, but if you know if like Mariah voted for you, that means that probably some other people were talking about it with her. And so I think you just want to make sure everyone knows, hey, we're good. Like clean slate. Totally fine. I think that that's extremely important.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We saw that Gabler is not feeling great. Do you have any thoughts on like how the Baca tribe should be approaching this? Of the, I mean, is this because and he's not feeling great and he's also immune. So he's fading. He would seem like a person that you could start to try to put the target on, but he's also going to be able to get through this next tribal council because of his idol.
Yeah. So my first note actually for this is what to do if you're the person who is sick. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to hide it. And if you can't hide it, if it's really, really painful, pretend it's something else. Because I think like if you're talking about feeling like you have a stomach bug or something, maybe people think that will pass. Maybe they don't. But pretend it's something like, oh yeah, I'm just kind of constipated. This happens all the time. It usually goes away in a day. Or, oh, I just have a headache. Ha ha ha. It sucks. I feel bad, but I'll get over it. Like you got to grit through this pain because you do not want to be the person who seems like they're not going to be able to bring anything to the tribe. So find a way to mask it as best you can. If you're the rest of the tribe and you have the sick person on your tribe, if they're not immune, definitely feel free to plant seeds at any point in time about someone you could target. Any other names out there is great. But if they're immune, I think at that point you need to either buddy up with them more, make sure no one else gets in the like sympathy zone with them, or you need to, I don't know, like pull them aside and try to get them to snap out of it in some way. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you can, best like deal with a person who you don't want someone to be sick, immune, and then also feel against you. Like that's kind of the worst combination. So just make sure you're in good with Gabler, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's probably not going anywhere. All right. So this is a good segue to talk about, okay, we saw where Gabler, there was some talk about him. He has his hidden immunity idol. And there was some debate about how long is he immune? Where there was some people, Owen felt very confident that he was going to be immune for the first two tribal councils of the game. There was some talk about like, well, is it maybe it's his two first tribal councils. I think I could have told them without, I don't think there's ever been a time where that there is an idol that is based on tribal councils that you don't. I think in 41 and 42 that it was like you lose your vote at your next tribal council. You know, you are. For him to have an idol, it was good for two tribal councils. I thought that there was no doubt it was two tribal councils that he attended, not the first two tribal councils of the game.
Yeah, I think that that's a good rule of thumb. I think the fact that it was two was actually the more like surprising thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't see the note and you just hear them say, oh, I'm immune for the first two tribal councils. When I actually heard it the first time, I thought that meant he's immune the first two tribal, like both of them, like not that it wasn't like an idol that could be used at one of the first two. Mm-hmm. So I think that's almost a little bit like, oh yeah, I got two hidden immunity idols. Like it sounds too good to be true. So when they're going to check the bag, I think it was funny. The thing they were debating was actually which two tribals, not the fact that maybe it could have only been one and he was just lying.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other time that there was this came up. So Ron Clark had the advantage menu in season 38. And I think that the advantage menu was something that expired on a certain. That Ron Clark's legacy or advantage menu here, he found it on day one. And it allowed the player could steal a reward won by the other tribe, had an extra vote or individual immunity. However, the advantage menu was repurposed. Ron did not have to choose any advantage as his tribe did not go to any of the first tribal councils, leaving the advantage menu to expire on day eight. So I think that he had one that was like the first three tribal councils. But I feel like it's always been in these last couple of seasons, the tribal councils that you go to.
What was the one that Ryan had in HHH?
I think Ryan from Survivor of the Amazon. So
no,
I think he found on the boat an idol that was only for the first tribal council.
So, and then but what
he got
wasn't
to
it
send
where,
it to somebody?
Yeah, send it to someone who went to that one. Okay,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the only other time I could think of where it had more to do with the first tribal of the game and mm-hmm. not the first one that you attended.
Yeah. And I feel like that in the Island of the Idols, I think that there was like, okay, this is good for this many tribal councils. And we talked about like, you know, shot clock idols that sort of like mm-hmm. help prevent advantage get-ins where people don't just hold them all to the end of the game. But I have a question for you about going through the bags. Dylan says, I feel like the last great gray area morality question in the game is it okay to look through people's bags? People have very strong feelings. What can players do going forward to not leave themselves vulnerable to having their stuff searched? Steven talked about this on the Know-It-Alls the other night, said bury your stuff.
Okay. Yes and no. Bury your stuff if you have an idol that you find out in the middle of the woods or beware advantage. If you have the thing that Gabler had, there's no reason that should be in your bag. Just have that on top. Have that sitting somewhere publicly where everyone can see it. You've already told everyone what it was.
Yeah.
Like, why are you hiding it? Why? Like, I also
they probably
could have
just asked him.
I thought it was weird that they looked the bag and not just said, "Hey, Gabler, that idol thing that you said you had. When was that good for again?" And like, if he gets suspicious at all about, like, oh, why are you asking? We're like, well, you already told us. I just couldn't remember. Like, and if he gets mad, then that's a reason to throw a target on his back. Like, I think you setting yourself up for disaster when you're looking for something that you didn't need to look for. Mm-hmm. That was the main issue I had with the scenario then about the going through the bags was like, you didn't need to do this in a sneaky way. And Gabler, you didn't need to be hiding this from people. And I don't know that he was. I think maybe he was just putting it in his bag.
Yeah, I don't think he was hiding anything. I think Gabler is pretty much an open book. I do think that players should not keep their idols and advantages in their bag. I think it is the most likely place that people do check. Yeah. People will go through your stuff. So if you think you're hiding it there, you are not. I understand it. Maybe going to tribal council might be the time when you are going to do that. But I think that you have to find alternative places to keep your stuff, whether it's on your person. But again, people are always looking for sort of like the, you know, oh, like well, he has that thing in his pocket, or like if you have a cargo short or something like that, people are always looking to see
the famous idol bulge.
Bulge. So you know that there are other places where people have like been able to hide idols and advantages, and I think that, you know, you are going to have to try to figure something else out. All right, I want to talk about. And it,
On that note, yes. I have one more thought on that. Do you think we're close to the point? It reminded me just because of the beads in this episode. Do you think we're close to the point where someone could pretend that an idol is a thing they've just made and just wear it? Like, oh yeah, I made this bracelet or I made this necklace or whatever.
Well, that's kind of like, that is a good lead in to what's going on with the Beware Advantage. And a lot of these players where we saw Cody make his hat that nobody thought was an idol. Noelle was wearing her bracelet around her wrist, which I guess, you know, could have been, which was ultimately part of this immunity idol. So let's talk about the Beware Advantage. We have a lot of questions from the listeners about how the Beware Advantage is working this season. And I guess, why don't we start off here with a question from Mike, who asks, in this era, Mary, should anyone go for the Beware Advantage?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes and no. If you can get an ally to go for it, that could be okay. I don't think you should ever go for the Beware Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, let's see, have we had anyone win the game who's had a Beware Advantage? Did Marianne technically have the Beware Advantage?
Yes, she had to say the phrase. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think you should go for it. I don't think so. I don't think that it's like a game destroyer necessarily. Like, I actually think in this scenario with Cody, I think that it ended up being, for the most part, a great thing for his game, because if anything, it really solidified his alliance with the people that he told about it. And it felt like they were all doing this sort of mission thing together, and that they had this secret together that they got to share. I think that the last time I was on the Academy, I was talking about my sleepover strategy of sharing a secret with someone. I think this is great. I think that's a good thing to do if you can find people. I think also if you're Cody or if you're someone in that scenario where you have a task, definitely enlist at least one or two other people to help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's pretty much only good things that can happen there. Like if they turn against you and tell everyone, well, you screwed yourself over by getting the Beware Advantage in the first place. That was on you. So I think that was fun, but I don't think that the benefit of the actual advantage outweighs the potential vote loss. I don't know. Where do you stand on that?
Boy, I mean, the advantages are so powerful, but then everybody, like, especially if I was somebody in Survivor 43, I was Cody in that spot, I do not think I would have picked up the Beware Advantage, especially knowing you were going into Tribal Council. I know that it was everything that was going on with the phrases. I know that it was so dangerous for those players to have to basically reveal they had the idol. There were negative outcomes really for all of them. The idol that that really helped Marianne was the idol that she found where nobody knew that she had it. And so I would have never picked up the idol in that spot for Cody. It really could have gone sideways. Like, it could have been a situation where, okay, at the next challenge, say this thing, and he would not have even been able to get his vote back going into that tribal council.
he got so lucky that he was even given an opportunity to get his vote back by this tribal council. I do like this new version slightly more, and I would say the slight benefit to this is the fact that so far, at least, only the people on your own tribe could potentially know you have it. It's not a thing that, like, the problem with the phrases was it required participation from people of other tribes and also the knowledge of people on other tribes. I mean, at the very minimum, there's going to be three people in the game who know that they each have idols, and most likely more than that. So in this scenario, the people are already people in your alliance who you have a lot more management over what they know, how you can use this together, et cetera. So I think that this is great. I mean, like Steven's talked before about the like bonding around finding an idol together. I imagine the bonding around doing this secret mission task that you're going to have. Like, I think that's really fun. I'm going to be really curious to see if people in other tribes can do it solely on their own without letting anyone know.
So I have said that I believe that this will not necessarily be the beware advantage on the other tribes. Well, what do you think of that?
That would be cool. I mean, I think I like fairness. So I think as long as they're sort of comparable tasks, I think as long as it's something where you might have to get something or do something with other people. To me, this reminded me so much more of the Island of the Idols task where they had to get people to sit out of the immunity challenge.
Yes, for breakfast.
Yeah, the breakfast one. Like, that's the most similar, I think, that this was, is something where you're trying to convince other people to do something. I think the way that Cody went about it is probably about the best you can do. The fact that he could enlist other people who could also sort of, like, give that peer pressure was great. I think that's, like, the way to go in this. And I think in the breakfast challenge, wasn't there at least one other person also in the know who was sort of trying to, to assist with this? So I think that is something that's really good, which also leads into the like get your duos
thing. So I have a question from Matthew who says, in the new era, if you're going to go to tribal council that night, should you suspect anything and everything someone might be doing out of the ordinary? So that. Should you be sort of like having your guard raised on anything suspicious that people are doing? Because I kind of see this being a slippery slope.
Yeah, everything like this has those, like, has the counterpoint, right? Like, maybe someone is just being goofy. Maybe someone is just going out on a limb. Like,
right.
I think there's so much to calculate, even when it comes to like the shot in the dark, because there's only so much you can do when it gets to a point of like, okay, let's assume these are the votes. All right, now let's factor in that any given person could also not have a vote. Now let's also factor in that any given person could not have a vote and have played their shot in the dark. Let's factor in that they could have an advantage or an idol or an extra vote. And once you start doing that, you start getting to a point where it's like, there's so many things where it's actually almost better just to go basic and assume that everyone's kind of doing what they're saying they're going to do, because it's almost impossible with such small tribes to factor in for all of those different scenarios.
Yeah, I agree. I've been saying for a while, I think that you just act like the shot in the dark doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know?
And chances are pretty good that even if someone plays it, it's not gonna matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not only 16.666666 also implies that there is 100% chance the person is going to play it. You know, if it's like 50-50 that the person's even going to play their shot in the dark, now it's down to what? Is that 8%? So I think that, you know, maybe there's a scenario where it also implies that, you know, you're putting a vote on some, there's a cost to your game that happens. So I think that maybe there might be a very specific circumstances where a player should be sort of like changing their action because of the existence of the shot in the dark. But I've said this from the beginning, that the reason for the shot in the dark is not so that anybody will ever play the shot in the dark. It's that the other players panic about the shot in the dark and make mistakes.
I think the one time to try and factor in the shot in the dark is the merge vote. I think when there's the most people in the game and the most likelihood that a person who might be going home might know that they're a target, I think that would be probably the biggest time. And you, but at that point, you have probably enough people in the game where you could split a vote or have mm-hmm. a secondary target. But you yeah. can talk about that more in part.
No, that's three. A good point. So you have like one of these merge votes where it's like, you know, where it's like, okay, it's going to be like, you know, 10 to 2 or like, you know, a 9 to 3 vote. These people are on the bottom. All those people should probably just play their shot in the dark, right?
Yeah, they should, which is why I think like for those scenarios, when you have such big numbers, and if it's something like a 10 to 2, you don't vote for the person who you originally said. Yeah, you all vote for the secondary mm-hmm. person, probably. Yeah.
And maybe what, like, I guess the other thing is like, okay, well, we got to split our votes because then somebody has an idol. Just maybe you don't tell any of those people, you know, what's going on. You put all your votes on one of them, and then is that a better plan than a vote split? Probably not. Okay. But we'll get there in part three.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just talk about the Justine vote. Okay. Yeah. Take it first from the perspective of Justine. Looking back, was there anything that Justine could have been doing differently? Because it kind of seems like that Justine was kind of screwed no matter what, knowing what we know now.
Yeah. I think the one thing I gained from her exit interview was that there were some people, especially I think Jesse, she said that she felt good with. What did that mean? Did they have an alliance? Did they have like a firm pact, or did she just feel like she vibed with him? Because from his perspective, they clearly were not super, super connecting. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where you have to have the agreement of some sort with every person. It's a lot harder to break an agreement than it is to break a vibe, you know, like mm-hmm. you got to have the connection and then make some sort of agreement on top of it.
Yeah.
So that people don't want to break that. I think that's the one thing she could have done in that scenario. I think the other thing is it seemed to me like they were targeting NECA because of the tribe strength idea for the most part. You know that NECA has a duo with Cody. You know that's a vote then that you're not going to be able to use, that's not going to be able to go against them. You need all the votes you can get. At that point, why are they not targeting Dwight? Like, why are you not targeting someone who's more on the outs?
Yeah, that's really interesting because I wonder if there is some sort of like a subliminal connection of like, okay, he doesn't have a vote. He's also like not up for discussion to be voted for. I know the yeah. women felt like that they had him, but you know, like Xander also, like he didn't have a vote and he was like not, you know, I guess that Yasa didn't go to a tribal council, but I wonder if in some subliminal way, like not having a vote kind of takes you out of the mix for being voted for. It didn't help Brad.
Yeah. It almost seems like it's this idea of someone saying, well, it's like they're not very threatening, so I don't want to get them out. I don't want to waste this voting out of someone on someone who couldn't even fight back, sort of. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like a big enough target, but, like, they're going to get their vote back eventually, and then that's going to be harder to get them out. I think that's a perfect time. It's almost like it seems too easy, so people don't do it. Yeah, no, go with the easy vote. Like, but it's not even the fact that he doesn't have the vote why I'm saying to go against him. I'm saying to go against him because you're not going to be able... If you're targeting one person in a duo, you're not going to be able to get the other person to vote them out. Mm-hmm. So you're already dealing with fewer numbers and you're just leaving yourself open to something like this happening where all Cody and Nekka need to do is scoop up one more person and yeah. they're fine.
It seems like for Justine and Noelle, though, there was not much that they could have done. Ultimately, like Cody, Nekka, and Jesse were voting together against one of them,
yeah.
like kind of no matter what.
Yeah, I think it's at whatever point Justine and Noelle did to be lower with Cody and Nekka and Jesse than Dwight was. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that point that they needed to be higher than Dwight on that list. You need to team up with them and get Dwight out or go really big and try to find a way to get Jesse out. But that didn't seem like that was really happening.
Okay, so Dwight was close with the women. He felt very betrayed by Jesse. We don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but Dylan asked a question of exploring the Dwight and Jesse fallout. How do you navigate a situation where your close ally has no vote? Who should be expected to fold? Like, does your ally have agency in what happens when they don't have a vote if you disagree?
I think it's probably better for Jesse, especially knowing that Dwight lost his vote and he was the one who went to the ship island, but whatever, Big Rock Island, and that Cody is the one who got the Beware advantage. When you have that knowledge, I think you just tell Dwight what's happening. Worst case scenario, the plan gets out. You know that Justine and Noelle don't have an idol or advantage. You know they don't have one. Yes, you could potentially have them, one of them play their shot in the dark, but I think you just accept that. I think it's better to at least not have lied to Dwight and go, you know what, I told you and I had to make this move because it was what was better for me. I understand if you're not okay with that. I think that that's better in the long run because you still kind of end up with the same numbers of now Dwight can either be annoyed with you that you voted out the person he didn't like, but at least you didn't lie to them so he can still work with you, or he's going to go with Noelle and just be the two of them. So either way, it's the same numbers in the end and the same result happens. It's just you have slightly less maybe anger at you once mm-hmm. you're done. I don't know. Have you looked at the episode title for next week's episode?
No. What is it?
It has something to do with signing divorce papers. So yeah, I wondered if that had something to do with this.
Yeah. So in the commercial or in the preview where there's so much talk about the island wife, island spouse, and Dwight says that Jesse's sleeping on the couch, and Jesse said, "I don't care. I'll sign the divorce papers
okay,
now."
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting question for Jesse. Is it better for you to keep the ally in the game that you crossed, or are you better off kind of keeping Noelle around who, you never crossed, but maybe there's a chance that you could, there is room for upside.
Yeah. I would say the best thing to do is not have an ally you crossed to begin with. like that's what I would say. Like Dwight can be upset with you that you disagree, but it's like, sorry, Dwight, you don't have a vote. I need to make my own decision. I hope you can respect that. At least you're aware of what's happening. Once you have someone who you have crossed, it was different back in the old days when we were pretty, like, if you're pretty confident that you're going to have a swap or something happen. Mm-hmm. I think in either case, Dwight or Noelle is going to tell people you're running the game, that you let a vote. I think at that point you want to get rid of. It's almost why I keep saying that maybe Dwight would have been the better vote for this round. Maybe they should have voted Dwight out because, yeah, you've got Justine and Noelle by themselves, but it probably doesn't look as much like you made a big move and betrayed some people. I don't know. That's tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is like super interesting where, if you vote out Dwight in that spot, yeah, Noelle and Justine are upset. I guess Jesse really did and Cody really didn't care for Justine because it's sort of like, okay, they just cast their votes for NECA, or they cast one vote for NECA and one vote for Cody. So it's not like that they're ever going to get in good with Cody and NECA. You got rid of Dwight, who was sort of like really going to bat for, so instead of like him being mad, now he's gone that Cody and NECA are mad at Justine and Noelle moving forward. Jesse really could play that swing spot. So that would be a very interesting spot, for Jesse, yeah. I think moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might've been
maybe a missed opportunity. I really like that. A couple other questions just moving forward from the first two episodes. Bobby Hall wants to know, in the new era, in Tribes of Six, Mary, is there an ideal number to have going into the merge? I feel like pre-merge tribe numbers were a major part of how 41 and 42's post-merge game flowed. Erica hid in her six, Marianne in her four. Does it matter? I'd love a little insight on how to acknowledge first day power structures, Vessi being seen as couples, etc. How do you think that will impact the merge?
I think it depends. I think this is also part of the conversation of, in the early game, should you be going for tribe strength or alliance strength? Mm-hmm. Like, should you just sort of accept that you're probably not going to have a Oolong situation and that you're going to merge at some point, yeah, and or that they're not going to? And so, like, if you have one really strong duo and you're running the game, maybe you do a Shan Ricard. Like, maybe that's okay.
Yeah,
it didn't work out for them, but I don't think that was necessarily the reason it didn't work out for them. I think that might be better. And then if you go in, like, I think it's okay to go in with really low numbers if you've got a tight pair and you can then immediately hop in with another group. So like if you for whatever reason had a situation where you merged and it's a tribe of six, a tribe of four, and a tribe of two, join up with the tribe of two, go 6-6. I mean, the tribe of four, go 6-6. Yeah. And I think that that's perfectly fine. I would probably say like try to get three to four. I feel like sounds good.
Yeah.
I feel like when you have too many numbers, like I know Erica made it work, but if you come in with a tribe of six or five, I think there's just too many people that you're not going to be able to keep track of.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with a two, there's not much you can do. Okay. It's just sort of like you're with your two. There's really like, you know, you lost a bunch. What are you going to do? I do think the interesting way to look at it is sort of like last season where we came in with three fours and, you know, and those fours were like varying degrees of divided. And, mm-hmm. you know, you had Marianne's tribe, which, escapes me at the moment, the tribe name, but they were tight, and they were effective. Whereas the other, you know, two tribes were varying levels of divided. The Ika tribe was the biggest mess of, you know, that they all like went, you know, all their different directions. And then the green tribe, it was sort of like a three against one. And just in hindsight, the way the 42 played out, that the four that was the tightest four really did have the advantage going towards the end game. So I think that maybe, you know, I do think, you know, tribe strength, I really think is matters to the point where you don't want to go down to just having two people. But I think that within that, I think you want to find like, okay, what is the most cohesive four to move forward with? And, you know, don't get rid of your allies, you know, over, you know, at the expense of like, you know, winning an extra challenge or two.
Yeah, I agree. I think alliance strength is more important than tribe strength mm-hmm. when it comes to number of people. And yeah, I think if you end up in a scenario where you have like a 4-4-4 merge, I think if you're not tight with your four, find a four that you are tight with
mm-hmm.
and make that happen. Like it's better to be part of a new strong alliance than an alliance that's been around for a while but crumbling.
Mary, so. Was there anything else from your notes that you had from these first two episodes that you think would fit in with the overall theme of the vibe of the tribe?
I got a couple. One is if you're finding that your tribe is being divided on a particular line that doesn't suit you, like if you have a men versus women situation and there's five people and you're in the smaller number of that and you think that doesn't work, find a new way to divide the tribe to where you are in the side with the numbers. Oh, it's the East Coast people. Look at us. Let's stick together. We're all from whatever. I think that that is something that's like, people don't do as much, but just like if the division isn't working for you, make a new division. Like find one that does work.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this one just from the really short scene they had of people. I think it was on the blue tribe, which I can't remember their name. Is that Coco?
Coco. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been saying this for years. If your tribe is doing something like meditating, stretching, dancing, yoga, just do it.
Yep.
Do it with them. There's no reason not to do it with them. Jump on the vibe of that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then downplay your social strengths. Don't tell people that you can lie or act or strategize well.
Yeah, that was a bad call from Justine.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you don't want to like tell them you're a horrible liar. Like don't do that. But there's almost no reason to ever present particular strengths you have. Even if you have a strong duo that you want to work with and want to come up with strategy, if you're a really good player, you want them to feel like they're the one leading the duo, not you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah, those were the other things I think I had written down. Yeah, this is the other thing. Never tell someone you don't trust them.
that's a very good point. Yeah, never
tell someone you don't trust them. And also remember, this goes along with the apologize after tribal council and forgive. You don't need to trust people. You just need them to think that you trust them.
Yeah.
And that's the more important thing.
Yeah, I think good takeaways on all of them. Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, you know, when Justine says, like, you know, how do I know that I can trust you? And Jesse was horrified that she said, like, why would you say that to me? You know, it's hard. I mean, here's the thing, like, you can't, and if you can't trust him, you can't trust his answer. So there's really, like, there's no point in asking that.
And it's hard because at the time that she said that, my thought was, oh yes, you've got to get her out. You can't have someone who feels that way about you in the game. And I kind of, the more I've thought through it, I think I disagree with that stance only because you have to then calculate, okay, what does the tribe look like after we get them out? What are the circumstances that it takes to get them out? Who's mad at who? Where are the new lines? And if that doesn't work for you, you need to say, okay, I can't trust Justine. I know she doesn't trust me, but she has no power to make anything happen from that.
Yeah.
So let me remove another person who's going to make the division more complicated, mm-hmm. like Dwight. I think that that's kind of more where you have to go. Just like actually think about what is going to play out after you vote that person out.
I have one more question for you from Ivan. Is it still possible, unless a double tribal is coming up, that the merge is at 13 for some reason, or that a tribe is reduced to one member? Do you ever see that happening in the new era? So we've only seen two people go home. It's day five. I feel like that in 41 and 42, I think three people were out of the game, of course, that we had the situation with Jackson to start off season 42. That, do you think the tribe should be anticipating a double tribal council pre-merge, or do you think we'll have a merge of 13?
A double tribal meaning two people, like, voted two, out, or they get together?
Like, okay. We'll see two people voted out or two people voted out. I think that would only send one person home. Should the players be expecting like two people going home in one episode cycle?
I think for sure. I think, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, but I'm glad that it hasn't so that we could meet people. But I would be pretty surprised if in the next two cycles, if we don't have only one immunity winner, other two tribes vote someone out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably where we're at. Otherwise we're going to get to a point where it's just like once a day we're voting people out, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how much more. I mean, they're 100% sticking with the 26 days right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if that's still I think they have to change something to make that happen. Mm-hmm. They have to have at least one.
Is it possible that we saw in season 41 and 42, like the two-part merge episode, like 2 hours at the merge? Is it possible that we have like, you know, the merge is a one-hour episode? Could that maybe change things up?
If we're not doing Hourglass and we're not doing the Exile Island with the Hourglass, I think we could easily have a one-hour merge. I think something that might be interesting would be if Survivor ever did kind of like the challenge as a purge, which would be like, hey, we're going to merge together, but we're really quickly going to vote two people out right mm-hmm. now before the merge or something, which is almost what they did with having one vote sort of right before the merge, half in the merge. But that would be the only other thing I could think of. But that would probably be a 2-hour episode if they did that. So yeah, I think we could easily see a 1-hour merge. I mean, I don't know. We've got three and a half hours of Survivor so far, and two people voted out. So it's unprecedented.
Yeah. I think it's a good way to go, even though we haven't had like the most exciting gameplay here in these first 3.5 hours. But I think that like if you were going to have like a movie, like I think you'd want to like, okay, like let's spend a lot of time like introducing our characters up front, and then let's have all the action at the end, as opposed to if you have a bunch of actions like who are these people? Wait, what's going on? So I think that ultimately, I think it's a good indicator for the season as a whole. All right,
that's
Mary.
my biggest critique in movies is when they try to make me care about people who are dying or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know them. I've met them for 10 minutes.
And not enough trains.
Not enough trains. Okay. Choo-choo.
Mary, this was so fun. I thought you did such a great job on this. Love having you on to do these. So hopefully we can do more of these in the future.
Yeah, this is fun. I get to work my strategy brain for a little while. Hopefully that was somewhat coherent to some of the people. I know I had a lot of thoughts, and it's hard to get them all out sometimes, but hopefully there's some interesting tips in there.
No, I thought so, and I think this was a great first chapter here of our season 43, chapter one here at Survivor Academy. All right, no test. All right, everybody. The ultimate test is going to be out on the island. It's not going to be open book.
Yeah.
We'll see how you do.
If you've listened to these and you go out on the island and you don't follow all these rules to a T.
Yeah. And if you do bad, yeah, that's a reflection on us.
Bad progress report.
Yeah. Okay. Mary, where can people keep up with more of what you're doing?
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary. And obviously Big Brother has wrapped up at this point, but we have season 3 of Love is Blind right around the corner.
Yes.
So that's going to be coming out real soon. If you haven't caught up with the season 2 After the Altar special, definitely check out myself and Asia covering our coverage of that we released at Rob is a Podcast. And otherwise, yeah, pretty much just chilling, doing house projects in the interim.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Are podcasts house projects or no?
Not as much,
not really.
But I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
While
it's good
I
for listening
to.
Yeah. That's a good point. All right.
That's great.
Well, Mary, thank you again for coming on with us. Of course, check out everything else we have going on from Survivor this week. I thought it was a really fun week on the podcast between the Survivor Know-It-Alls and JD, who I thought was really, really fun on the recap. And I had a fun feedback show with Chantel Francis. David Bloomberg stopped by to discuss what's going on with Garrett Adelstein and why he is suddenly a trending name in a lot more spaces than Survivor. So interesting stuff all the way around. We will have another fun week of Survivor podcasts coming here in week number 3. Hope you're there for all of it. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.